Hello and welcome to Bandit Queen. I'm Rebecca Lee Douglas, and this is our first show. I really like radio, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I found that there are a bunch of podcasts targeted towards a specific type of woman. There were a lot of podcasts, like parenting podcasts for the mommy, and super sexy podcasts for like the super, super sexy, kinky lady. And there were podcasts for the career woman. I can identify with, you know, all of those different things in different ways, but that isn't really who I am, or, you know, who most of my friends are, who most of the women that I know are. That doesn't encompass their identity. So I couldn't really find a show that was, you know, for me. And so I decided to make a podcast for women like me, because I'm a woman, that would explore, you know, what a woman actually is, and that would talk about the issues that we talk about and would be honest and, you know, fun, and but also serious.
I'm serial. I'm super serial.
And so each week on the show, I decided that we'd choose an issue that you know, I talk about, my friends talk about, people that I know you want to hear about, and we'd build a show around that issue. And so the first show, which is this show, is going to be about birth control, because that's been in the news a lot lately, and that's what most of my friends are talking about.
And I'll get to sleep at night. The deep slumber of a father whose daughters aren't out being impregnated.
And so we have stories and conversations today about different forms of birth control. We have stories about birth control forms that you've probably never heard of before. We have a conversation about smartphone apps that promote condom use. We have a story about a form of acne medication that requires girls to take bimonthly pregnancy tests. So we have all that and more. And so I hope you like it. And before we get into that, I wanted to introduce someone who's going to be a big part of the show. This is Chad Bernhard. He's my audio engineer, and he's going to be putting the show together. Well, not he's not going to be doing that, but he's going to be recording the show. Hi, Chad.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hi, Chad. Can you tell that I'm nervous?
You are nervous. Is it okay if I call you Becca?
Yeah, that's totally fine. That's great. That is what most of my friends call me.
Am I your friend?
You are my friend. But, like, Rebecca Lee Douglas is my byline, you know, because there are lots of Beccas and a lot of Rebecca Douglases, but, like, Rebecca Lee Douglas seems to be, you know, less common.
And that's it. You're the only one.
Yeah. So thanks for, like, helping me out with this whole
thing.
You're
welcome.
Okay. And your presence is there, and I'm calming down, and we're gonna start this show.
I am omnipresent.
I spent my last $10 on birth control and beer. My life was so much simpler when I was sober and queer. But the love of a strong, hairy man has turned my head out of fear and made me spend my last $10 on
So, the first person that we're going to talk to today, after Chad, of course, is my roommate, Stephanie Neal, and we're going to talk to her about smartphone apps, about condoms and condom use. So she works as an administrative assistant at Barnard College, Columbia University, and that's the all-women's school at Columbia University.
Namely the chicks, a.k.a. ladies, a.k.a. women.
And she's the most media-savvy person that I've ever met. So, Chad, can we give her a call and see what she has to say?
Hello?
Hey, Steph.
Oh, hey, Becca.
So you're my first voice on the show,
ever. I mean, that's just truly an honor.
So are you, you're at work?
Yeah, yes, still.
How's it going?
It's fine. I have to work this weekend prepare for leaving for Europe so that...
Oh, yeah, you're going to Europe.
To Europe. It's going to be 70 degrees here when I leave for Iceland. So,
yeah, but you'll be in those, like, hot, natural hot spring bath things.
We decided that we're going straight from the airport to the hot springs because we can't check into our hotel yet. So... really looking forward.
That sounds
to
wonderful.
That.
You can just take like a lovely nap, like out there, floating, like the ads on the subway.
Floating nap. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Get an ice cocktail.
And so, since today we're talking about birth control, there have been like different iPhone apps about condom use. And so I thought we could maybe talk about that because, I don't know, like you use...
I use these apps. I mean, I don't use those particular apps, but I do use apps in general.
You know, you're always like, things are binging on your phone and you're always checking in and like saying where you are and like being the mayor of this place and that place. So
exactly.
So what are the sites that you wanted to talk about?
So there's one... sponsored by Planned Parenthood or like started by Planned Parenthood where you check in to places like where you have had safe sex. You like literally can check into that place as if it's Foursquare.
Like it's Foursquare.
Exactly.
And that's where did you wear it, right?
Where did you wear it is an app that you can download. So it's trying to promote safe sex by bringing it to the social media world, which is where we all are. So basically what you do is you click on check-in when you're on the site. You put in all of the relevant information, like where you are approximately. You put in, like, what you are, like, if it, like, your gender, the gender of your partner, your age.
Yeah.
It asks you if you talk to your partner about having safe sex. It asks you why you practice safe sex. Like, these are all drop-down lists, so you just select whatever's closest to you. And then it asks you how the safe sex was. So
crappy.
There's no way. Exactly. So then you fill all this out and then you check in and then you can see where other people in your area checked in and had safe sex.
Do you know what's going on in your area? Are people at Columbia University checking in?
Let's see now. There's like a couple people around Columbia. You know what? A lot of people are using this on the Upper East and Upper West Side. So you're given a bird's eye view map of the city, and then you can see what other people said. So, you know, this sexual encounter took place on.
I feel like this is really voyeuristic.
It so is, and that's like kind of the point to be like, look at all these people having the same sex. So this took place on Columbus Avenue. It says a 30-something guy and a guy whose relationship is just for fun and have already talked about safer sex and STDs used a condom in a hotel room because no one wants an STD. It was great. Can't wait for round two.
Well, good for a 30-something guy and 30-something guy. As a person who is a checker-inner on things like Foursquare, what do you think people's motivation?
My belief behind the motivation of people checking in is that people are really into showing other people where they are and how often they are out, you know, and like doing something and not just sitting at home and not having a life. They're out and around and in the city and at this bar and at this club and rah, 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 rah. So I think that gets really fun.
This is different though because it's like anonymous, right? You don't.
It is so anonymous. But I think that you know, they definitely want people to check in despite the fact that they're anonymous. I think that the like Planned Parenthood knows that the incentive is that checking in is kind of addictive, you know. It's because even if it is anonymous, like you're still putting yourself on a map somewhere.
Okay. Then there's a comparable website that it seems like it's like, where did you wear it? Only it has nothing to do with safe sex. It's just sort of exhibitionist.
Exactly. Which is really funny.
Wait, so what is that one called?
Okay, it's called ijustmadelove.com.
ijustmadelove.com. And that's the one where you can, like, chart the different positions that you did it in and stuff. That creeps me out quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, I feel like and this is also still anonymous, but you can also, like, link it to some of your pages, which would then make it not anonymous. I'm sure that this is something that, the Planned Parenthood site would hope that, you know, it would be as popular as this, because this one is, like, there's a ton of people using it all the time. Like, the overall love count for today is 233,890.
Oh, my goodness. And then there's the one that New York City.
Yeah, released on Valentine's Day. Is that the one where you can find free condoms in the city?
Yeah. You can log in and given your location, the GPS technology,
right.
Searches for the five nearest places where you can get free condoms. All right. So in conclusion, Steph, your Steph Neal seal of approval, which of the apps gets it, which of them doesn't, which of them may be so-so?
Okay, I personally, I think that the New York City, like, free condom one is the best because the other two are kind of, like, entertainment performance-y value. Like, I feel like those are not quite as proactive as, like, the let's just get down to business. Like, this is where you can find condoms. Like, this isn't just, like, for show.
Yeah.
This isn't, like, where did you have sex? This is just showing you, like, where you can get a condom. So, logically, and because I myself am such a hypochondriac, that seems like the most useful app to me. I really like the idea of For the Planned Parenthood thing. I think that they can promote that among, like, a younger teenage set. I just don't know how much it's going to, like, kick off.
All right. Well, thank you, Steph. You can go back to work now, and I'll see you at our apartment later tonight.
I look forward to it. I'm very excited. Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. So that was my lovely and talented roommate, Miss Stephanie Neal, at Barnard College, and I'd like to thank Steph for taking her lunch break to talk to us about social networking and condoms.
Let's pretend we're bunny rabbits.
For the past two decades, the most effective treatment for some kinds of severe acne has been a pill known to cause birth defects. Producer Amy Kraft talked to patients and a medical professional to find out why women and young girls are risking these consequences.
When Elizabeth Cottle was in seventh grade, she started getting acne. And those first few pimples were just the beginning.
I have cystic acne, which, if you don't know what that is, they're like really deep pimples that are under the skin.
The pimples appeared first on her forehead and then started spreading to her cheeks. This was acne that, if untreated, can cause some pretty nasty scarring. As if being a teenager isn't hard enough.
I used to hide my face and just so people wouldn't see my skin and,
Nothing Cottle tried worked. So her father took her to see a dermatologist. The severity of her acne warranted treatment with a drug called isotretinoin, what you might call the nuclear option of acne medication. Isotretinoin was first sold by Roche Pharmaceuticals under the brand name Accutane in 1982. But there were problems. Accutane caused a number of serious side effects, including psychiatric disorders like depression and suicide. Accutane was pulled from the market in 2009, but other brands of isotretinoin are still available, and the side effects are still a problem. Perhaps the most frightening of these is plastered all over the packaging of the drug. On the packaging of every pill in Elizabeth Cottle's bubble pack is a tiny picture of a pregnant woman with a red X slashed through it.
And it also has a booklet in it that looks really small, but it's actually like 3 feet in diameter when you open it up. And then on the back of it, it has pictures of the possible birth defects. It's scary.
Women who get pregnant on the medication are particularly at risk. The likelihood of birth defects for the fetus are high.
Birth control is the first thing that we talk about, especially for girls. But there's lots of other things. God forbid they should get pregnant. The patient has to be willing to think about having an abortion or live with the consequences of having a deformed fetus.
That's Dr. Rebecca Baxt, a dermatologist at NYU's School of Medicine.
Definitely people always have reservations about the birth control issues. Sometimes we put young girls on the medication and the parents don't want them on birth control.
In the U.S., it's mandatory that women on isotretinoin practice two forms of birth control. In the 20 years since the drug was first released, over 2,000 women have become pregnant while on the treatment.
To report a pregnancy, press 3. Transferring.
That automated phone message is from a federal distribution program called iPledge. The FDA set up this program in 2006 to monitor and prevent sexually active women from getting pregnant.
You have selected the reporting line for pregnancies and adverse events. If you are calling to report a pregnancy or adverse event, please press 2 now and hold for the next available agent.
While a vast majority of women on isotretinoin never have to make that call, female patients of all ages are required to undergo monthly pregnancy tests, declare their two forms of birth control, and fill out an online questionnaire detailing their sexual activity.
I know that there were questions regarding, you know, if you're sexually active, what would you use? They'd ask questions, what in this circumstance would you use A, B, or C? And this was inappropriate, I felt.
That's Kate Schroeder. Her daughter, Kristen, was 13 when her acne was treated with isotretinoin. Schroeder says she didn't have any real concerns about her daughter getting pregnant, but there were other issues.
I have no regrets about her going forward with that treatment, but it was a real challenge when we were doing it. The negative, which really upset me at times, was if you didn't go online within that week that they allotted, they would not prescribe the next month's Accutane.
For both patients and dermatologists like Dr. Baxt, the iPledge system can seem like a series of intrusive hoops to jump through, despite its important name.
And I don't know that it's really reduced the number of pregnancies, but I do think it has reduced the number of prescriptions that are given out.
In the first year iPledge was implemented, the FDA recorded 120 pregnancies of women on the drug. 2012 marks 30 years that isotretinoin has been prescribed for severe acne. For all the problems associated with it, Roche Pharmaceuticals reports that about 5 million people in the U.S. have been treated with Accutane since its release, 12 million worldwide. And that's just for one of the brand names that isotretinoin is marketed under.
Well, listen, it would be great if we could get another drug on the market to treat cystic acne effectively that doesn't cause fetal harm. Meanwhile, while all we have is isotretinoin, it would be nice if it stayed on the market.
Sexually active women have to decide if the benefits of the medication outweigh the risks. Even with the protection of birth control, pregnancy is a possibility, and agreeing to a hypothetical abortion is never an easy thing to deal with. Amy Kraft, New York.
Elizabeth Hagen contributed reporting to that story. The piece brings up the difficulty that teens often have when talking to their parents about sex. So if you're interested in getting advice on the subject, make sure to visit our website, where social worker and sex ed specialist Catherine Calhoun lists some ways that teens can begin to open up a dialogue with their parents. So now we're going to move on to our health segment. We're going to be talking about alternative forms of birth control.
Oh, how lovely life will be if we keep the 10 commandments of health.
And so to talk with me about that is my friend and health journalist, Monica Rosenfeld. Monica's in the studio with me now.
Hi, Rebecca. Thanks for having me on your show.
How's it going?
It's going well. This is really fun.
Yeah.
I like talking in this microphone.
I mean, it's neat, right? And we're going to call your roommate. She has sort of an interesting way that she approaches birth control, right?
Yeah, I'm so excited. My new roommate, Katie, she is awesome. And we sit around and we talk about all sorts of personal things together. Mm-hmm. And when I told her I was coming on to do this segment, she's like, oh, well, I've been doing the Rhythm Method since I was 18 years old. Which is kind of crazy because most people don't even know about the Rhythm Method at all. And I was like, how do you know about it when you're 18 years old?
That's like what women did in, like, you know, the 1910s when, like, they couldn't get a hold of the condoms made of intestines or anything
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly. The olden days where you really...
Aren't those called sausages?
So I'm really excited to hear more about what she's been doing. And she's never been on the birth control pill in her life. And, you know, she's had many relationships. So I'm really interested in learning more about how she's been actually, you know, measuring her ovulation system. I think that's pretty intense.
That's pretty wild. I mean, I can't imagine making that decision when you're 18.
Exactly.
It seems like that's, you know, something that an 18-year-old might do, but then it would have, like, very drastic consequences with, like, lots and lots of babies.
Right, or it would last 3 weeks and then you forget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so, Chad, can we call Katie? Katie?
Hello.
Hi, this is Becca. You're on my super awesome new radio show about, like, women and gender and stuff.
Hi, Becca. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm here with Monica, your roommate.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been telling the world all your personal issues. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Monica has an awesome open roommate who's willing to come on and talk about this sort of stuff. So Monica tells me that you've been on the Rhythm Method since you were 18 years old.
Yes. Well, for my, like, for as long as I've been, you know, having sex, I guess. So,
Yeah. So that, I mean, that seems like that's a pretty big decision for an 18-year-old girl to make. Did you do, like, a bunch of research, or, like, did you hear about it somewhere? How did you decide that you were going to do that?
Well, I think it probably stemmed from being uncomfortable talking to my mom about, you know, birth control. And then also, I mean, my mom, like, I was raised, like, we just didn't use medicine a lot. So, I mean, I didn't like to swallow pills, you know, I still have trouble with that. So I think it was all just kind of, like, it didn't make sense to me to put hormones into my body when I already had enough of that going on. So it didn't seem like a hard decision for me. So that helped.
Did you, like, go to your local library and, like, crack open a bunch of books, or, like, how did you...
I think it was Christine Northrup's, is it Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom, that book. I don't know if that's the actual title, but, I just read through that and it made sense to me.
So how does it work? Monica says that you have, like, a calendar that you sort of map out, like, your menstrual cycle and when you're going to be ovulating and when you're going to be most fertile.
Well, I used to just keep it on, like, a calendar that I would write on, but now I use iCal for it. So basically,
iCal.
Yeah, basically the day that I start, I, you know, like, mark that on the calendar, and I set up a reminder that, you know, every 28 days that I'll start again. So, you know, I have to adjust it sometimes, but I'm pretty regular, so I really don't have to do much. So then I just mark when I end as well, and then from there, I also just keep track of, like, when I'm most likely to ovulating, which, I mean, I can also just, like, check with how I'm feeling and, you know.
You can check with how you're feeling?
Well, I mean, like, usually,
like,
when
you can
tell? Yeah, I can tell. When I'm hornier, I can, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that's when you feel more like, yeah, I want to get it on. That's more like when you're definitely ovulating.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, the interesting thing about the Rhythm Method, based on some of my research and doctors I talked to, is that women who are on it are really in touch with their bodies.
Oh, wow.
They really understand what's going on day to day. You know, this is the time where I'm low in estrogen or high in estrogen, and this is the time where I'm going to feel a little sadder.
Yeah.
This is the time I'm going to feel a little hornier.
Yep.
So that's interesting. So that when you are at, and you're, like, quote-unquote, horniest point in your cycle, that's when you can't have sex, right?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah, that's when I shouldn't have sex.
That's a bummer.
If I want to prevent getting pregnant, yeah. So, but it makes sense. Biologically speaking, that's when
So when do, I mean, like, I don't know anything about this. When do normal women ovulate? When are they most fertile?
Like 7 to 10 days after I stop bleeding that
you're most fertile.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, I think it depends.
Do you use a secondary form of birth control also? Like, do you ever use condoms or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want no,
so it's just,
you know, STIs or anything like that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But with your, like, primary partner now, who you've been with for, like, a really long time, do you use condoms still?
No.
No. Okay. You just completely the rhythm method and you haven't gotten pregnant.
I've never been pregnant.
Oh, my goodness. Have you been tested to see if you are fertile, to see if there is a fertility issue?
I have not.
Okay. So there may, I mean, hopefully you can. Do you want to have children one day, maybe?
I'm still trying to decide that. Yeah. So,
what does your gynecologist think about this method? Like, or doctors in general, are they freaked out or are they?
Yeah. She reprimands me. Yeah. Which I find offensive because it's my choice. So I would think that a female doctor would encourage choice, but you know, that's just the way that it is. So it's okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Katie. Thank you for calling in and letting us talk about, you know, your personal life and stuff like,
no
stuff like
problem.
That. I'm hoping that, yeah, I mean, this is an option for women, and a lot of women don't know about it, and it's pretty cool that you're sharing it with them.
That's great. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. And
okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
That was neat. She sounded sane and stuff like that.
She's the coolest girl I know. Like, you don't really hear too many people.
Yeah, I know that that's something that I would not consider because I am so paranoid.
Yeah, that would stress me out.
Yeah. If some girl came over to you and a new girlfriend or something like that and told you that she wasn't going to be on the pill or anything, you weren't going to use any other forms of
no
condoms or anything like that. How would you feel about that?
No. I mean, how new, right? Like, oh, hey, I'm dating you second time. Don't protect yourself. I'm like, I don't know. Who knows what's all up in that?
That's true.
Well, I spoke to one doctor who said it actually could be more dangerous to miss a day of birth control than it is to go by the rhythm method where you're knowing which days you're more fertile. Because then you take extra precautions.
I would buy that
as well.
Some birth control, you know, you have to be like exact to the hour, right?
Yeah.
And that's really hard. Yeah. I can't do that. I'm like, I forget. I just, ugh.
Yeah, me either.
So Monica, you talked to a bunch of gynecologists and doctors who advocate these different alternative methods of birth control and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's also interesting because every woman has a different hormonal level. Mm-hmm. So you might be estrogen high, estrogen low. And so adding the same amount of estrogen to every woman's body is a problem because everyone needs a little different dosage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really interested in that kind of topic and how we're kind of prescribing the same pill across the board. And, you know, hormones are just so sensitive. Mm-hmm. One woman could gain weight. One woman could go crazy. Like, you just don't know what that extra dose of hormones are going to do to your body. I spoke to quite a few, maybe a dozen gynecologists who take a holistic approach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really cool. There's probably 10 or 12 methods that I didn't even hear about just by interviewing. And rhythm method is one of them. And it's mm-hmm. a very popular one, although often they recommend doing another step, whether mm-hmm. it's using condoms or, you know, another form of natural birth control.
So what were some of the methods that, you hadn't heard of before that these gynecologists were recommending?
Well, the one that's really interesting that I was actually suggested to use myself is progesterone, which is a natural hormone women create that actually regulates your estrogen and testosterone levels naturally in the body. And French women use this. This is very popular in France. And as you know, the whole health industry in France is really great for women's health.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the news stories that have been coming out lately, just like after birth, the government's paying for 2 months of physical therapy. It's like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, to get your vagina back to the place that
get
it was
it back
before
to normal.
So that you can start
come
having sex
on.
Again, which is pretty awesome.
I can't even imagine our healthcare system.
Yeah, that's not going to happen here for a while.
So progesterone is a really great way because it doesn't affect the estrogen level in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're still, you know, at the same place, but you're the hormone, when you have a higher dosage of a hormone, I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to be quoted on this, but it alters your fertility. So having a higher dosage of progesterone, according to a lot of holistic doctors and in France, is really popular. It's really a great method.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one that was really popular.
So I know that in birth control pills, you have estrogen and progesterone, mm-hmm. right? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So it's just taking the progesterone.
Well, birth control pills are synthetic. It's man-made.
Yeah.
And then there's bioidentical, which it's bioidentical means that it's replicating the same chemical that's in your body. Mm-hmm. So it's not like your body's rejecting this thing. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, weird chemical is coming in. It's like, oh, I'm used to this because I already have this in my body. And it's working with. It's like, oh, here's more progesterone that I already have. Mm-hmm. And your body doesn't feel like it's being fooled. But however...
So is it taken like in a pill capsule? Or
there's different forms. It depends how you want to take it. You could actually do it in a cream even. Mm-hmm. And you could do it either by putting it near your veins, so like on your forearms, or you could do vaginal insertion of the cream.
You can put a cream?
Yeah.
On your forearms?
Yeah.
Like a lotion?
It soaks into your veins and it goes through your bloodstream.
Oh, wow.
But all of these methods, you know, these are just possibilities. And I really, really recommend that if women are interested, they seek out a holistic doctor mm-hmm. because it's so individualized. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even at the basic level, if you do choose to go with birth control pills, I think you should do a lot of research as to what each pill does and what chemicals are in it mm-hmm. because so much research is coming out of these new branded birth control pills, specifically a study on Yaz, but not just Yaz, other newer forms, that are creating 75% more blood clots than the generic kind. And the generic kind is fine for controlling your cycle and your fertility. But at least do the research. Find out if the pill is right for you and there's other options. Mm-hmm. Don't just take the one the doctor is giving you because most likely, especially if they're forcing you to take that one, they're probably getting commission off of it. So just be careful. You know, like you do have a choice, and if a doctor is not listening to you, go see another doctor.
So I'd like to thank Monica for coming into the studio today. If you have more questions about traditional forms of birth control, which we didn't really touch on that much, you can go and check out our website. Yes, we have a website, which is banditqueenradio.com. We also have some tape of a sex educator explaining the pros and cons of different birth control options. And we've posted Monica's interview with a gynecologist based in Manhattan about some of the alternative methods of birth control that we discussed here. I want to switch gears for a second. We've talked a lot about why birth control is important for women, but not really why guys should care about it. So here's humorist Marty Beckerman reading his story, Five Reasons Every Bro Should Love Birth Control. And this story was originally published at brobible.com.
A single hot button issue has dominated our national discourse lately. Girls! Is the birth control pill wrong? Look, if you're a man and against contraception, you need your heads examined. Both of them. Last week, a bunch of congressmen nearly granted employers the right to deny women coverage for the birth control pill. Presidential candidate Rick Santorum, who believes sex is only for procreative purposes,
I'm not a believer in birth control,
granted that the pill is not okay. And Rush Limbaugh slandered a Georgetown law student as a slut
what?
And prostitute.
Prostitute?
Just for speaking her mind on the topic.
She wants to be paid to have sex.
He later apologized, but maintains that insurance companies shouldn't pay for contraception, as opposed to his Viagra and mountains of OxyContin. This is sexism that backfires, misogyny that maims, chauvinism that hurts males too. The birth control pill isn't wrong, it's goddamn amazing. This should be a self-evident truth, like how all men are created equal and have certain unalienable rights. For example, the right to get laid without becoming fathers.
Sex.
But apparently it's 1960, not 2012, so this needs clarification. Allow me to explain the facts of life to guys who don't know what's good for them. Birth control fact number one, you save a ton of cash. The average cost of raising a brat from infancy to adulthood is $227,000, a 40% increase since 2001. Pop quiz, do you have $227,000 in coins hiding between your sofa cushions? Put your hand down, Mitt Romney, I'm not talking to you. You could purchase a lot of things with that money, luxury cars, exotic travel, dubiously imported cigars, and the finest booze. But instead you'll waste it on diapers and pacifiers and, whatever the hell else babies need. Cigars and booze?
Hmm?
Birth control fact number two. If she's on the pill, you don't have to use condoms. Newsflash. Sex is less pleasurable when you bury your schlong inside a latex coffin. You don't want to acquire an STD, of course. Protection is advisable for one-night stands in public restrooms. But you do want more than a fraction of the sensation. Also, Trojans make your junk smell like a hospital, which I guess is an improvement over the public restroom. With a condom, all you feel is movement. Without one, you can feel temperature and moisture. As far as thrills go, it's the difference between flying coach and skydiving. Specifically, skydiving into a warm, dewy cloud of joy. Birth control fact number three. Estrogen regulates her cycle. If you have a girlfriend who is on the pill, go look at the pack. Notice anything different about the final row? It's a different color, huh? You know what that color means? I'll tell you what it means. Get the hell out of Dodge. Now, I love the ladies, by which I mean my lady, but sometimes they act a little silly, by which I mean completely terrifying. For a few days each month, every little thing I say is wrong. Also, everything I think, which is apparently written all over my bastard face.
This is Amelia Earhart. I'm almost across the Pacific. Oh no, my period!
And I appreciate knowing when to expect those days, so I can book the overseas ticket in advance. Birth control fact number four. It's not your responsibility. Yet. Scientists are working on a birth control pill for men. Who wants to bet that thrice-divorced Limbaugh will oppose insurance coverage of that? Unfortunately, men are forgetful. We can't remember birthdays and anniversaries, so how are we supposed to remember our vasectomy vitamins every single day? In terms of responsibility, free birth control for women means a free ride for you. No pun intended. Birth control fact number five. Her breasts get bigger. Let me repeat. Her breasts get bigger. For Christ's sake. This wondrous medicine helps women stay baby-free and makes them more voluptuous. Why do our elected representatives want to make it illegal and or harder to get? What kind of a patriarchy is this? We shouldn't decrease access to contraception. We should put Yaz in the goddamn tap water supply. If your crazy political agenda is more important to you than stuffing your face between a majestic pair of enormous jugga-majiggies, then we have nothing more to discuss. And if you believe in controlling women's bodies, you can go screw yourself. Because they certainly will not do you the favor.
Go! To do the dishes, go! To clean up my room, go! To do the laundry, go! And in the bathroom, go! That's all I really want is go!
That was Marty Beckerman. You can see his work in Esquire, Bro Bible, Salon, and just about every other cool place out there. To end the show today, we have a musical guest for you. Eager Beaver is a Brooklyn-based band made up of Kate Marvin and Eva Peskin, and they're with me in the studio now. You know, Eager Beaver is pretty new, right?
Yes. it's a very new
so,
project.
So how did the whole thing start for you guys?
I found a notebook recently from, like, right after I graduated from college that was, like, my idea journal. It's really, really silly. It's kind of amazing. But I just, like, had all these ideas for, like, art projects that I wanted to do and, like, performance art installations and, like, sound art installations and blah, blah, blah. Like, all of these things. And on one page, I just have written Eager Beaver. And I don't remember what that I thought that was or, like, why that was. But it's just, like, a little name that I think popped into my head. Basically, it's, like, really stressful to me to, like, put myself out there as, like, Eva Peskin, like, doing this. Eva Peskin, like, singing songs for you. And Eager Beaver, honestly, just, like, has a lot of the letters in my name. But it's provocative in, like, it sort of could be sexual if we were something really different. Like, we're – because I think we're so not, like – I think
we might be accidentally sexual.
Yeah, but there's just, like, there's nothing kind of intentionally provocative about what we're doing.
I told my mom I was starting a band with Eva called Eager Beaver, and my mom is British, and she was like, "Oh goodness, oh no, this is just
Why? Oh, don't you know that the men will hear that and they'll think, available vagina. And I was like, oh, mommy, you know.
No, but the thing
that's
is,
not what it's about.
We're both like really enthusiastic people and we're really...
We're genuinely eager beavers,
like happy little campers, like excited to make music for people. Anyone can bring whatever their interpretation of what they think it is, and then like we'll actually do something and like fill sort of the name with content, mm-hmm. and then people will maybe keep their decisions or change them. So
we sort of, we have these characters, and I don't know exactly who our characters are, but I, you know,
yeah, we haven't really
defined them. Character when we're performing, but our characters are both so incredibly excited to perform and just so freaking scared, had like the worst stage fright ever.
Yeah.
And then overcome that through singing.
Yeah.
So once we get going, you know, it just
That's so funny because you think that if you wanted to like have a character, you'd want your character to be like super brave, so you'd get up on the stage and be able to like
I think it was like a choice. I think there's like it was definitely a decision to go against that.
I think it's very freeing. I think it's a very freeing thing. And I think in terms of singing, I work with a lot of singers in the theater, teaching them songs and stuff, because I write music for the theater. But if someone's afraid to sing something, I tell them to pretend that they're someone else. I tell them, you know, pretend you're Kristen Chenoweth, or pretend you're, you know, someone who can do something real. Pretend you're Mariah Carey. Pretend you're someone who can do something vocally insane. And then, you know, if you're imitating somebody, it's not as scary. So I think it's a similar thing having a character. You know, it gives you a license to be free and to do crazy stuff, because it's not as linked to like I have to put my, you know, I have to put my soul out there. And sometimes it makes it easier for you to put your soul out there if you're doing it through a character.
Yeah, because I think there is like such a like almost creepily intimate aspect of a lot of our music. Like it's very, very personal. I feel like we have the ability to like put all of our like, you know, heart centers into the music when we're not, or when we just like own self-consciousness.
Can you describe what the characters look like, what they wear, you know?
We wear these kind of like disheveled tuxedos.
Mm-hmm. We tend to wear tights with shorts and tuxedo jackets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had this image of like ill-fitting tuxedos. I think that's kind of what we get. We have these like very brightly colored ties that I found that were my mom's from the 80s, like business lady in the 80s ties.
I wear a big bow.
Yeah, she's a really big bow.
Big bow tie.
I have glasses that are very prominent, and Kate puts on these very tiny glasses.
Tiny, John Lennon glasses.
Sort of John Lennon, even smaller than John Lennon glasses.
They're like Benjamin Franklin glasses. But that's like what we're doing now. I'm not totally committed for that to be everything. Yeah, there's just something really wonderful about tuxedos, mm-hmm. and like they're a very open symbol.
Yeah,
like they can be symbol. They could be a very empowering, and you could read it as like we're wearing these things to be empowered, or they're like a uniform. Like we could be servile, like in these tuxedos, or you know, we could be lots of different things.
I don't think we've fully explored this yet, but. Or really talked about it that much, but I think we're vaguely into dressing up as men a little bit.
Yeah, we are. Just,
yeah, I was wondering what the gender of your characters are. Do you know what they are?
It's ambiguous.
It's ambiguous. I just want to strive for like neutrality, mm-hmm. and like openness, mm-hmm. just so that we can kind of go in whatever direction is necessary by like whatever we're singing. Mm-hmm. But I think it is a fun, complicating factor that we are almost always like obviously female dressing, mm-hmm. vaguely as males.
Yeah. And it seems like a bunch of the songs that you guys cover are about like gender ambiguity,
yeah.
or like androgyny. You have the Magnetic Fields, their new song, Andrew in Drag, and then the Anthony and the Johnson song, Today I'm a Boy. So like, why did you guys choose those songs? Does that have something, you know, do you feel a connection with them?
I think we just feel connected to them.
I think both of them are sort of about discovering a part of yourself that you didn't know was there, and that part is a, you know,
I don't know, it's related to sexual identity. So I think that, I mean, the Antony and the Johnson song is sort of, it kind of makes me think of that Dar Williams song, like, you know, When I Was a Boy. It's about, that song is about like the moment before, you know, you're forced into gender-specific behavior. But the Antony and the Johnson song makes me think of that. And then the Magnetic Field song is, you know, about this guy who just is taken totally by surprise because he sees his friend Andrew in drag and he's like, oh my God, like I'm in love with this. I'm in love with Andrew's drag character, basically. I'm in love with this woman who doesn't exist and I'm never going to see her again because he did it as a gag. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I love the idea of being, of surprising yourself. And I think that our characters are kind of on the, they're like on the verge of something. They're like on the verge of some self-discovery. And maybe that's some kind of gender identity discovery or sexual identity discovery. And maybe it's not, but I think
yeah.
it is.
Yeah, the thing is, for me, both of those songs, like, yes, and like, I don't know exactly why, like, the sort of gender ambiguity songs seem to really resonate with me, but the like both of those songs are about like very universal feelings, I think, that happen to be expressed in this way. Like the Antony and the Johnson song is about like being in the wrong self and like feeling or like just feeling so like or just being dissatisfied with yourself, but like knowing that you're on the road to like finding out who you or like getting to the person that you will be. Like for today, I'm a boy. Like, someday I'm going to not be a boy, but for today, this is what I'm dealing with. And I think that's like a very universal.
When I was like in high school, I remember looking at all of the artists and the musicians and people that I wanted to be like and thinking that they were all male and sort of being a bit bummed out that I wasn't born a guy because I couldn't be a member of like Radiohead. I wanted so badly to be a part of Radiohead. I could never do that. Like I remember going to Modest Mouse concerts and like just worshiping them and like this idea of like these like strong like badass dudes, mm-hmm. you know, and feeling like there was this culture that I was never going to be able to be a part of. So the idea that you guys sort of dress up in these gender ambiguous like costumes or like have these different, you know, gender ambiguous identities, I think is really cool because it's sort of like you're able to yeah. join that club sort
that's,
of. But
I think
in like a,
totally on the money. You know? I feel like that too. I definitely felt
while still being very feminine, you're able to join the club. It seems like the two songs that I'm going to have you guys play are about collecting and sort of creating an identity by, you know, I mean, it seems like it's just maybe about collecting things, but it's also about something more. It's about collecting things to sort of like create like your, you know, who you are. And that sort of seems to go along with like these performance identities that you've created. And so I thought maybe if you could just talk about that for a second, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah. I'm trying. Let me think about the lyric. Yeah. I think that I really don't know why. Because I write the lyrics, so I don't know why I keep writing lyrics about collecting things. But it just seems to come up. And I think it's partly this sort of feeling of like being young and forgetting who I am all the time. I feel like so often, and I don't know if this ever goes away, but I feel like I wake up in the morning and I forget who I am and I have to like catalog, you know, and sometimes I feel like maybe I've missed something and I have to think about all the things I've done. And I have to think about, you know, what are my like life totems? What are my person totems?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that too. I wake up a lot of mornings and I'm just like, what the heck am I doing
yeah,
with my life? And then
I
sort of need to make a list.
Yeah,
be like,
I think
okay,
it's like
this
constantly addressing the who am I question.
But it's also like you guys were talking about how like you have a bunch of props and stuff when you perform. So it's like collecting all these different things to like create these identities, these stage identities.
Yeah, and I think it's also like giving people a lot of options. Like
yeah.
I think we just have a lot out there for people to read.
Would you guys mind playing for us?
Absolutely.
Okay, that would be great.
Sure.
So what's the name of the first song that you're going to be playing?
The first song is called Collectibles.
Okay.
And the second song is called Rock Collector.
Rock Collector. Okay. Well, enjoy listening to Eager Beaver.
It'll be some time before I drown in the dust that's been settling on the bedroom floor. Wait, oh, I can wait, 'cause
today to sign for and receive the next piece in my collection of all the things I've done. I keep them on a shelf next to the arguments I've won. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't touch them, you'll decrease their value. Though they may not look like much right now, you'll be surprised to hear what they might be worth in 50 years. There's a loaded gun in my chest, no sudden movements less to blow the lid off all our fun. Bang, bang, kapow! Mound of mortal matter, disbelief suspended in a vat of viscous self-restraint. Stand back and witness nothing less than my perfect human body. Component pieces hard to find. This model comes complete with an unused heart and an open mind. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't touch it, you'll decrease its value. Though it may not look like much right now, you'll be surprised to hear what it might be worth in 50 years. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't touch it, you'll decrease its value. Though it may not look like much right now, you'll be surprised to hear what it might be worth in 50 years. What it might be worth after a couple of beers. What it might be worth behind Ross Perot's ears. What it might be worth in the House of Peers. What it might be worth on a bagel with a schmear. What it might be worth to a herd of steer. It's a warm November, trees are dying slowly this year. Back in September, leaves could laugh with nothing to fear. But now the night comes fast, and the feelings last. It's too much to hold on to. Too much to hold on to. I've been getting messages that you've been sending out. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about all these trees keep shaking, shuffling off their seasonal coils. Into piles we raking mortality, humanity, soil. But now the night still comes fast. And just when you think it's past, it's too much to hold on to. Too much to hold on to. It's too much,
too much,
too much to hold. Too much,
too much,
too much to hold. It's too much to hold on to. Everything you had, you just put it under rocks, put it underneath a rock, put it underneath. Well, guess what? I'm a rock collector. Every time you sad, you just give a little rock, give yourself a little rock like a baby, side to side.
I'm a rock, I'm a rock collector. Everything you had, you just put it under rocks, put it underneath a rock, put it underneath. Well, guess what? I'm a rock collector. Every time you're sad, you just give a little rock, give yourself a little rock, like a baby, side to side. I'm a rock collector. I'm a rock collector. Do I disappear for you? Cause you don't disappear for me. Every time your name pops up on my computer screen or in my head, I moisturize my legs.
Well, you guys, that was that was awesome. Thank you so much for coming in and, you know, being our first musical guest.
Thanks for having us.
We're so happy to be here.
It's really fun.
Really, really fun.
All right. Awesome.
I'm a girl, and by me that's only great. I am proud that my silhouette is curvy, that I walk.
So that's our show. I hope you enjoyed it. Go check us out at banditqueenradio.com and look for our next episode, which will air in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening, and thanks to Chad for engineering the show. Bye, and thank you.
With my eyelashes all in curves, I float as the clouds on air do. I enjoy being a girl. When men say I'm cute and funny, and my teeth aren't teeth but pearls, I just lap it up like honey. I enjoy being a girl. I flip when a fella sends me flowers. I drool over dresses made of lace. I talk on that telephone for hours with a pound and a half of cream upon my face. I'm strictly a female, female, and my future I